Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this book we're fixing to open. We open it reverently. We open it, Lord, worshipfully to you and realize there's nothing we can understand without the help of the Holy Spirit. Thank you. We know you gave us the Holy Spirit to live within our heart, to help us not only learn and grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord, but make it applicable to our life so in this life we might be able to practice that, which in turn will bring glory and honor to your name. And though that's, you said in your word, that's your works is preordained through Jesus Christ. So we pray those works will show people who you are and be able to see in our life what you see in our heart. And we pray these studies will help us draw closer to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, we ended up last week, we've been studying the last number of weeks about how to handle questionable things in the Bible. And we were talking about looking at, for the last couple of weeks, we looked at angels, and we looked at also not only angels, but we want to pick up on the creation of man. And we're trying to show some things that's a little bit deeper than maybe just on the surface. You know, thank God for the gospel, and that's on the surface, and that can be understood. But we're trying to get a little bit deeper than that. And the reason I say that is because there's so much this book teaches that many times we don't seem to have the time, we just hit the surface. And so we're taking the time and teaching in depth with God's help at this time. And if you look in Matthew chapter 22, now last week we said since that Jesus said, and this is where we get our information, as we finish up, we're going to just say a few words about angels, then we're going to leave them there and go to the creation of man. And the reason for that is because it's going to answer a lot of questions for us. It's going to help us understand the federation head of the human race. Now the question came up that led in this particular study on this line, and it's this: if God could send his son to die for man, why couldn't Christ die for the angels? What is the difference in man and angel? You think God didn't love the angels? Sure he did, but he loved man. And we've seen already that man was made in God's image, and we see that there was a system set up with man, which we looked at last week, finished up, system set up with man that he could procreate. That is, God set up a system in man and woman where there could be procreation. In procreation, a new special person could be born into the family, male or female, and there'd never be another just like that person. And in the made since Adam's day, there's never been. We have what we call identical twins. If you look, they're not identical completely in everything because there's no two people on the face of the earth alike or ever will be just exactly alike in everything. God created. Isn't it amazing where God created the dust of the ground, man, and blew into him the breath of life, and he became a living soul. We also know God set forth that since God is a spirit in John chapter 4, he tells this woman at Samaritan woman, said that God is a spirit, they that worship him must worship in spirit and truth. So for anyone to worship God, it must be through in spirit and truth. And so when he created man, he created him a spirit. That spirit's the lifeline from God. When that spirit fell in Adam, then there's nothing that we commune to each other from a spiritual level, intellectually, about things that goes into our mind and heart to learn and grow academics. But then again, Jesus came and died for humanity. And amazing that whereas he died one time for the whole human race, if he'd come, he would not have been able to die at one time for all angelic beings. Because there's no federation head for angels except God. God created angels themselves. He created them individually. But when he created Adam, he didn't create you and I like he did Adam. He created you and I through Adam. I want you to get this now. It'll help you understand some other things we get to later. So what happened is you and I are creation of God. And I'm probably creation of the in his family through procreation. Is God let me be born into the in his family. But when it comes right down to it, God is the author behind it all, but he didn't take me, make me the dust of the ground as from this body and blew into my heart or my body the breath of life, and I became a living soul. He did that in Adam, and he fixed it in procreation. So through the reproduction process, all of us have come today 6,000 years later. And so what happens is when we begin to understand, well, how in the world could God, Jesus come and die, one person come and die for the whole human race? Well, let me ask you a question. How in the world could one man put us all in the mess we're in? But he did. Adam did. Now, you and I wouldn't know that if it weren't for the Bible. But the Bible, we're going to see that in a few minutes. But on the other hand, I want to go back to this thought, and I'm going to show you the reason why I say that, that when it comes to angels, and we've already seen there's billions and billions of angels, innumerable number of angels. And no matter how many there exists, we know this, that we looked at, they were in three different categories. As far as archangels are concerned, most people think that's like a third of the angelic host was under each one of these archangels, Lucifer and Isaiah 14, Michael and Jude 9, and which was to Israel, and of course Gabriel, Luke 2. And then we know the angels were called cherubims and seraphims along with the archangels. So that's how the ranks were when God created them. But there's no angel that he create and produce another angel. They were all done at one time by the word of his power, word of his mouth. That amazes us because to be able to do that, you know, if God could call angels in existence and call this into existence, the first three chapters of Genesis shows us that. He did just exactly like that. He called these into existence out of the darkness, out of the sea. It was by this word of his power. And then, of course, when he made man, he made him from the dust of the ground, blew into the breath of life, and became a living soul. So when it comes to the angels, those angels that fail can never be redeemed because God didn't set up the system with the prospect of redeeming them so that no angel reproduces itself. Now, if you look in Matthew chapter, first of all, 22, and look down about verse 28 through 30, Jesus is talking to the Sadducees here, and he said, therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife? They come to him trying to trick him, and they came to him and talked to him about this what lady who'd married, and she'd been married seven times and had seven husbands and so forth, you know, and said, and in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be at the seven? For they all had her. And Jesus answered and said unto them, watch this now. Can you imagine how these so-called experts felt when he says to them, you do err. You don't know the scriptures. You don't know the power of God. Now, I put any kind of phrase in there. He says, you do err, not knowing the scriptures, not the power of God. That's the same attitude you get today when you talk to people who are experts, and yet they don't know the Bible. But they all say a lot of the things the Bible says and don't understand what it means. Now, why did he say that? He said, what's the reason he said you err? Watch, he said in verse 50, for in the resurrection they neither marry nor given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. Now, turn with me to Luke chapter 20, and let's see another given of this. We see he answers the Sadducees again, and Luke gives an account of this. And look with me about verse 33 of chapter 20. He said, therefore, in the resurrection, they said again, whose wife of them is she? For seven had her to wife. And Jesus said unto them, the children of this world marry and are given in marriage. Now, that reason I read this, because see, a little bit more is put here. The children of this world marry and give it in marriage. That's how God set up the system in Genesis that we could reproduce. Every one of us came from Adam. Now, here's the thing about understanding how Adam could throw us all into sin. And when Jesus Christ comes later in Corinth and other places, we see that Jesus Christ has the power to take us out if we believe the record that God gave of his son. And so here he comes, he says simply, in the resurrection, here's why he said, and Jesus answered and said to them, the children of this world marry and are given in marriage. But they which be accounted worthy to attain that world, and we know we have an advantage than what these people had, because God has not only said this at this time, which probably confused them a little bit. They didn't have the Holy Spirit, didn't have the Holy Spirit of God at the time, and they didn't have all the Word of God at the time. But he said to them that they shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead. We understand that comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. We understand it takes a new birth. All of those things, we're very privileged to have knowledge that these people, even apostles, didn't have at this time as the Lord Jesus was talking about different things in his ministry. But notice he said, neither marry nor given in marriage. Interesting? Now, watch again, but they which be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection of the dead, neither married are given in marriage. So we know that's talking about a time not here, because you and I have the right to marry and give in marriage, because that's the arena where God put for reproducing, to have offspring. But he said the day is going to come when you get there, there's not going to be no remarrying, not going to be any marrying or reproducing, or neither married nor given in marriage. Neither can they die anymore, for they are equal to the angels and are the children of God, being the children of the resurrection. Children of the resurrection who come into the family of God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which in turn made him a federation head of a new family. That's the reason that you can say, even though this world don't understand it, that there is no such a thing as a federation head as far as all of God, all the human race are God's children. They're creation of God, and you might say by blood, they're connected, physical blood, because that's how God set the system up, in the circulatory system of the blood circulating in the body. But they're not brothers per se, like we are in Jesus Christ. Because in there, we are a family of God out of the sands of humanity that's been born into the family of God. It's a blood that connects us physically. More than likely, there's about everybody in here who could give blood to somebody, and it would affect them because our type would be their type, and it would, that's life. Because in the blood is where life is at. On the other hand, this blood here that we have cannot do anything for eternal life. Now, that creates something man can't understand, because they look at, even now, and tell us about Jesus Christ in this world. They're always trying to tell us how Jesus came in such a way, but he's got all these problems. The only problem Jesus Christ had when he came was dealing with sin, and that problem was because God made him sin to become sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteous of God. Now, Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen, he's the answer for sin. And so when I began to see what Christ did at Calvary, how in the world then, if Adam could throw us all under sin, how in the world could Jesus Christ take us out? The thing about it is this, though Adam threw a human race under sin, his nature, even before the law was given where sin was not imputed from Adam's day up to Moses' day, people died because of the wage of sin is death. On the other hand, when Jesus Christ came, and he came into the picture, to get in that family, you have to believe the record of God's Son. Amen. You and I had a lot of things to do when we were born physically. As a matter of fact, our mother and dad didn't have anything to do with it as to how we'd be. They knew how to make a child, but they had nothing to do with the DNA. They had nothing to do with things. Now, some things we got from our parents, but they had absolutely nothing other than the process that God set up, and you and I had nothing else to do except the process that God set up, and here we are. But if you ever get born again, you have to make a choice. Amen. And that's through Jesus Christ. And God has given us intellectualism. We're not like the animals. We can rationalize and think, and we can organize, and we can put thoughts together, and we can understand intellectually. When God gave his word to us in our own language to understand who we are and what's happening and what we can do as far as while we're in time. We're not eternity past, and I'll say, repeat myself, we're not eternity past, but God brought us into time, which is in eternity, and that's where this process is going, to God finishes time, and then suddenly time will go back into eternity, and only those who in the process of being born again into the family of God is going to end up with him in eternity. Amen. So I say to you that no angel could reproduce, and therefore each one of those were treated by God. So in essence, at the way God set up man, and the fact of how we're in the loins of Adam, and I'm going to show you that as we get time tonight. It's a blessed thing to see the process. See, that's the reason why sometimes people ask you a question, you can't give an answer right at start. You have to lay out a foundation. You have to lay a principle and build upon that so you can build to where you're at to really understand what they're asking. And so an angel himself, and I say, repeat myself, if an angel could be redeemed, every angel would have to have a redeemer by themselves. Because they were not on the procreate, they were not had a federation head. So I have to get that in my mind. So since they do not marry or reproduce, they have no federation head, God created each one of them in time individually. He called them forth as individuals, and he categorized them. Now, since there is no reproducing in heaven by the new creation of God through Jesus Christ, we're just like, he said, the only thing I can give you is like the angels. They don't produce and they live forever, and so shall we. Now, here's the thing. Now, I can't go back, but back in, we talked about in Genesis 6 where those sons of God came and had relationship with the daughters of men. And there's all kinds of things, and I don't guess we'll have an answer for that. But let me go back and pick up what I said, that one reason I believe, somehow or another, that the ungodly situation that time, there was an intermingling between what was called Satan. And we know this, that in Job 38, sons of God were called sons of God before there was ever a man created. Because before the foundation of the world, they sang with the stars. And the stars themselves may be symbolic of that. But when I think about this thing of Genesis chapter 6, and I pass this on. I can't prove it either way, and we can't either way. But I tell you this, it makes more sense to me than said they were sons of Japhet. It makes sense to me, the fact that it could happen. Let me tell you why. Because if you follow through what God has said, sexual relationship has to do only with the urge of the flesh. It's not going to be in heaven. When we get there, we're not going to have no more children. We're not going to be reduced anymore. When we get to heaven, when God's closed it out, that'll be those who will live there forever, and there'll never be any increases of numbers anymore. Just like the angelic host. A third of the angelic host fell under Lucifer. The other two, there's two-thirds then left, and those two-thirds are going to be with God forever and ever, never reproduce. Those who are fell will fall with Lucifer, Satan, and forever and ever be abandoned from God. In fact, he tells us that's where hell's at. He created hell with the devil and his angels, and therefore all those who follow the pattern after them will end up in that same place, and it's really called the lake of fire. So what would happen if that be the case, that this relationship, procreation in earth, in time, is a biological urge that God has set within the male and the female to brew about for reproduction in this life? Then if you don't have that with the angels and you don't have it in heaven, I can understand that. But I understand this. If by chance, if we proved already, angels can appear. Hebrews said they might appear unaware sometimes. You may talk to someone, he said, Hebrews 13, second verse, and you might be able to talk to an angel. You remember we talked about that last week? So I'm saying to you that if an angel comes in a biological body, the body itself may have urges that an angel never would have. Because it's not the person you and I in this body that has the urge, it's the flesh that has the urge. See, when God gets us out and puts us in a glorified body, there'll never be another fleshly urge again. Now, folks, this to me gives me, that I know that I'm here by myself a lot of times, but this gives me some thought at times to understand why things happen like they do, and it makes sense to me to understand that if it's a biological thing, fleshly, and it is, we looked at that a number of places where we found in Hebrews and other places that talked about the flesh, the body, and what's happened, and you know, God's going, not going, that's never going to be redeemed. This flesh is never going to be redeemed. It's going back to the dust one of these days. And when it goes back to the dust, it'll be there forever. But you and I will be either with the Lord or not with the Lord. The new creation will be with the Lord. And, of course, the life of this flesh now, which will be departed when death comes, as far as the body of the flesh died, will go, and God will disperse of that too. So you move the flesh, and there is no biological urge from male or female, but you put life in the flesh creates a biological urge in the flesh. And I'm saying to you, it's possible that can happen. Thank you, Brother Ennis. I never thought of that before. Don't tell me if God can take us out of this body and go back to the dust, and we don't have an urge in heaven like we have here, it's because we're in a different body, and the body gives us that urge. I'm trying to be very discreet about this. You know what I'm talking about. Now, ladies and gentlemen, don't that make sense to you? At least wag your foot at me or something. I don't know. I really believe this. Now, we want to leave this, and here's what we kind of sum up with the angels so far. We find that angels, they created individual. They could not reproduce. They have no federation head. They have someone. Here, someone have to die for each individual angel if they could be redeemed. And because they have no federation head, God didn't see fit to do that for them. And by the way, you say, well, that's just not just. Don't tell me God's just in anything he does. Amen. He don't owe us a thing. God is God, folks. We fail to be. Well, you know, man has brought him down so level of where he's at, sometimes we think that we're even higher than God. God's always God and will be God. And when we get to him to glorify a body, we'll see him who he really is. And I'll tell you, in a sometimes in this body we may have trouble to bow down sometime to pray or even go with a shout in a from a heart. But when we get to heaven in that glorified body, that new creation in that glorified body is not going to have any trouble giving God all the rivers he wants. I'm telling you, when we get over there and we see where God has brought us from and where he took us to, you and I are going to find ourselves astonished so much that why in the world he ever loved us like he did. Because he's God. Hallelujah. And so the angels made a choice when they, out of a pure heart, a third failed. The other two-thirds, of course, now are ministering spirits, Hebrews says, for those who have salvation. Now, as I move on, I want to move over and we get into now what is for the creation of humanity as far as human beings and develop that up to a point. And then you'll see the federation head and how it works even more so as we look at the scriptures that God has given us in his word. Now, when I think about creation of human beings, and I really believe this, what's happened today, man of the world who has not the faith to believe what God says, believes in evolution. But I believe this, folks, I guess there is such a word as devolution, not evolution or evolution, but devolution. In other words, evolution starts from the lowest laying of life and goes to the highest. Devolution starts the highest and goes to the lowest. And that's exactly, if you're going to have evolution at all, any kind, it starts from the highest and goes to the lowest. And so when I see what's taking place, to my knowledge, there is only one correct source of information to explain humans' intelligence, and that's the Bible. Now, there's a lot out there, but I'm talking about a source that can be absolute dependent upon, that's correct about explaining what we think of as human intelligence. And I'll be honest with you, there's a lot of things may look close to it, but nothing has it except God's created being in his image, man. No animals can talk like a man, a human being. They can grunt and sound. By the way, we can make grunt sounds. I can bark like a dog, but I ain't a dog. Amen? But I tell you, there's no dog who barks like a dog who ever talked like a man. Can you tell me why? Can you tell me why? Because we're in the image of God. That's right. He didn't say that about nothing else he created. He didn't even say that about the angels. Amen. That's right. So what? Thank God. Thank God he's made it so clear to those who want to see that, you see. And so the question is, what does the Bible say about creation? I'm not going to go back to Genesis 1, 2, and 3. We know that. We know he called out of darkness. He called us from the sea. He called the fowls. Everything he called into existence when he said it's good. And then we see on the seventh day, he looked about and he decided to create man in his own image. God the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit in that. And he blew into the breath of life and he came to live in soul. Now the head, now watch. He created man. He's alive and well. Later, you know, put him to sleep. Took a rib, created Eve, and brought her to him as his wife, as his helpmeet. Now, the head, when you think about federation head, the head of the body is the topmost of the body of flesh. Here, symbols of power and authority and honor and life are displayed. I see that here tonight. You're alive. You got your Bible. You can read. I don't know what you're thinking about, but you can think. Probably not thinking about what I'm talking about, but you still think. What I'm saying, we know that has happened in here right now. The intelligent is seen. You got here tonight. I don't think any of you walked. You drove a car, a vehicle. Didn't have to hook a mule or nothing up, did you? Amen. But here, what I'm saying is, here the symbol of power. So we understand what a head means. My body can't function without this. I don't care what happens. As a matter of fact, a lot of things this flesh can do, but it can't do it without this. So this is the head part. That means that's the one who controls me. Now, I have a will, and I have a relationship with God spiritually, which gives me advantage. Because I can learn what really works best for this to help this in this life. And I can learn what God says about, you know, wages of sin is death, and the point of man wants to die. And it helps me understand when someone comes and says, but wait a minute, God loves you enough. And start telling me about what God has prepared for those who are headed towards death, that they can have not only life, but eternal life, which is the very life of God. And that's what you got to have to live wherever where he's at, the eternal bliss of God with that life. And so here, this is the topmost. Now, Adam was crowned. Don't you look with me in Psalms chapter 8 and verse 3 through 9. I'll give you some good references here. Psalms chapter 8, and look down about verse 3 through 9. Here's what the psalmist said. He said, verse 3, "When I consider thy heavens and the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained." Isn't that amazing? The work of thy face. See, God helps us put things together systematically. He talks about he spoke. Here's the work of his fingers. How did he do all of that together? It's simply this. The power of God so great that he spoke and he flung the stars into space. The work of his fingers. Then he said, "What is man?" He said, "What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou should visited him?" That's a good question, I think. "For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him," watch this, now he's talking about man here, "and hast crowned him with glory and honor." Isn't that amazing? God has crowned us with glory and honor. "Thou madest him to have dominion." How's that glory and honor manifest? "He's made him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep, ox, yea, the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, whatsoever passes through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth." All he's doing is rehearsing back what he's seen in the beginning when God created the things for the heavens and the earth at that time. So Adam was crowned with glory and honor of the human race. Now, that tells me that he had a very special place in rank. Now, why? Because, ladies and gentlemen, in our age, everybody's turning everything upside down. They won't use Scripture unless they think they can use Scripture to put past something. Now, I don't care what the world says. The Bible backs up that the man, the husband, is the head of the house. And it also sets forth who is the authority as far as the church is concerned. And you say, with me, I'll prove that to you. Now, what I want you to go with, we're going to go back. We're going to look at this term federation head. Because this is important to understand what this is and how it works and why it works and why God set it up through the system to in turn bring about what we even have today. In a broad sense, the federation head is the position that the male represents his descendants. It's like in the case of Adam. Adam was a federation head of mankind in that he represented mankind in the fall. That's how we know that. Had he never failed, it might have been a different story. But the fact is that since Adam failed, even though when Eve was there and was in process of reproduction, when she had Cain and when she had Abel, yet at the same time, Adam was considered the federation head. First of all, that's where came the operation of the seed. And secondly, God said that because some things are going to happen later if people come that goes back to Adam's day. Now, watch it. I could tell you now, but I want to probably follow it through the Scriptures. In other words, what we find that he was a federation of mankind, that he represented mankind in the fall. So the Bible declares we were in him, that is his seed, in his loins, when he fell. And I'll get that later. We fell in him. The reason you and I are lost is not, we didn't do Adam's sin. That's the reason Romans 5:12 tells us we didn't do the sin similar to Adam's sin, but we had his nature and we did sin. And he said the fact that God proved before he ever gave the law. Some people can't understand. God says that before law was given, God didn't impute sin to people. But he said in Romans 5:12, yet they died. Why? The curse of death was on the nature. And that nature had to be changed. And Jesus Christ came, and the new birth changes the nature. That's the reason why the old nature is still here in this body. But when this body goes back to the dust, that old nature is going with it. Because the glorified state is going to have the new nature in a body that God prepares there for what he's doing for us here in the new birth. And so I have to get this together. So we fell in him because we're in him. And God says, because of that, we all sin. In other words, he is our federation head. If you look in Psalms 1, 1 Corinthians 15:22, he says, for as in Adam all die, so in Christ shall be all made alive. If you look at the, turn over there with me. Let's look at a couple of verses. Look in at 1 Corinthians 15. What time is it here? All right, what time? 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If you look in, verse 22, yeah, he said, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Now, he's began to show the order of the resurrection here to the church at Corinth. And then in verse 20, he said, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. Now, let me ask you, go back with me. We know that because of man, by man came death. Then how in the world could that death infiltrate to us when we were not even there when Adam sinned? He's going to tell us. Because when you have a federation head of the human race, every individual that ever was born or ever will be born in this earth did not come from a monkey. They came from Adam. And God said, far as I'm concerned, in Adam, every one of you were there when I created him. In his loins. See, go with me to Hebrews, and I'm going to quit here because I'll have to come back and discuss it a little more next week. I want you to go with me to the book of Hebrews, if you will. And I'll show you a little bit about this in chapter 7. And whet your appetite, you'll come back next week maybe. I like that. Here's where the Hebrew writer is talking about the order of Melchizedek, that great priest that Abraham paid tithes to in the Old Testament. And when we get over there seeing these things, it's amazing what God is saying. In verse 1 of chapter 7, he says, this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. Now, back in Genesis chapter 14, you find this account, probably some 1977, 80 years before this. And he goes on down and explains that. And then he talks about, he said, into whom all Abraham gave a tenth part of all first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and that's also the king of Salem, which is king of peace. In other words, here's Abraham, meets a man, Abraham's federation head of the human of the nation of Israel. And he meets a man who has no father, has no mother, comes right out of the blue and gives him tithes, gives him honor as some type of great king, God, in the Old Testament. And it's symbolic of what's going to happen down through the years, but I don't have time to explain that now. But I want you to look with me, and I'm closing. I'm going to jump over and come back and pick it up in detail later. If you look down look in verse 5. In verse they that are the sons of Levi. Now he's coming up and picking up the sons of Levi who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. Now, see, what he's saying even here, he's not going back to Adam yet, but this shows a condition that goes back to Adam. He's saying here, Abraham came, and Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek. But now, here's Levi in the loins of Abraham. And by rights, now, the position of the priest, high priest, Israel has to pay tithes to Levi. And by that's an amazing thing. In other words, they reverenced their high priest. They reverenced the priesthood. They looked at them as being holy, great men, deserving to get what God said should give to them to take care of the household of faith, which had to do with the nation of Israel, and we know the tabernacle and the temple. But I want you to notice something now. And you get a little portion why this thing works through the federation head. Watch, he says. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promise. In other words, Melchizedek blessed Abraham, who gave tithes to him.
And verse 7, without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. In other words, they thought Abraham was the biggest, but couldn't be because Abraham paid tribute to Melchizedek. And he's laid a foundation to understand the federation head of nation of Israel, which the same principle applies to the federation head of the human race. Now watch, verse 8. And here men that died receive tithes, but there he receiveth them of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. Now as I may so say, Levi also, who received tithes, paid tithes in Abraham. Now, preacher, that's fictitious. No, that's Bible. Levi has not even come to existence. As far as I know, Levi's not even on Abraham's mind, but he's on God's mind because he's never been born yet. Now, watch the next verse. It explains all the ones I've given you so far. Verse 10. For he was yet, where was he at? In the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. So God said, Levi was in the loins of Abraham when Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek. And God said, because of that, Levi paid tithes to Melchizedek, though he wasn't even there. Amen.
Now he's showing us why we were in the genetic process of Adam, just like Levi was in, not only from Adam, but through Abraham. And he's showing us how, when you get to especially 1 Corinthians, it's talking about 15, how that the federation head of the human race. That's the reason why, if you look with me again, in verse 22, the scripture says simply this, for as in Adam all died, so in Christ shall all be made alive. How can it happen, preacher? The fact is that you and I were in Adam's loins, and we're here today. By rights, I don't know if we're part of Abraham's seed or not. Probably not, as a nation of Israel. He's got that genealogy. We're Gentiles. We went another way. So you and I, probably we didn't pay tithes to Melchizedek through Abraham unless we're descendants of Abraham. But we're all descendants of Adam. And that's the reason God says, in Adam, you die. And then he talks about the second Adam in 1 Corinthians, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. And then this is what he says here. Verse 20 said, but now in Christ risen is Christ risen the dead and become the first fruit of them that sleep. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. Now he's got two spirits here. By man, Adam came death. By man came the resurrection of the dead. But wait a minute. It won't Adam. God says he's the second Adam or the last Adam he referred to. And watch. And he puts it this way. For as in Adam, by the hand of God, through reproduction, as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. And I just thought, everyone that in the human race is from Adam, so they're all going to die, unless God does supernatural like Enoch and do something supernatural like Elijah. And by the way, I think they're going to die before it's over with when they come back. But what I'm saying is, there's that. And then he says, out of that human race that comes from Adam, down through the years, bins of souls, he said, there's coming a time I'll start with the family, head of the household. He'd be the shepherd and so forth, the family. And then I come down, I call Abraham out. I call Israel out. That nation as a whole will represent me. And of course, they had all their problems. But I'm bringing the fact that the fellow's going to come down the way called Joshua or Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus is his earthly name. Christ is his anointed name. And those of the human race then that trust him and believe the record, I'm going to birth them all into the family of God. Amen. And so as Adam was our federation head and got us in the mess, Jesus Christ, the federation head, can get us out if we'll trust him. Amen. That is. Father in heaven, thank you for the word. Bless us together, Lord. Feed our soul, not to buff us up. Dear Lord, we don't need to learn to be puffed up. We need to learn to be able to share with others the gospel of Christ. Everything I learn in depth of God's word, I need to learn the simplicity of sharing the gospel of Christ to someone. And then if someone has a question, God help me go to unravel that if it's not Bible. Give us that understanding, Holy Spirit of God. You see our heart. That when we preach messages here about the way the world's going these last days, there's many people who hear these messages say, it's not that bad. God is too good to let these things happen, dear Father. And that shows me they just are not spending time with you, because you wrote this book. The Holy Spirit that inspired it to be written lives in us who are saved, and He's desiring to teach it to us, but He won't do it just because we're lazy. He won't do it unless we study it. And Father, we'll have to study a lot in different places for Him to put the dots together for us to see the total. I believe with all my heart that I'm just as saved in Jesus Christ as I was lost in Adam, because I understand the federation head. And Lord, even to the place to see when He talked about the seed of a woman in Genesis 15, God already there hundreds and hundreds of years before showed when Jesus would be born. It wouldn't be the woman would have a child, but not by man per se, like Joseph or others. But God's seed would be there. As a matter of fact, Jesus Christ was born because of God's seed being artificially inseminated in Mary. And Father, the Son of God came into this world, the blood of Adam, which was descended of the nature of sin, was cut off. And the supreme, wonderful, precious sacrifice God accepted in our place for our sin. Praise Your name for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.